Okay, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th of July, 2018, Sunday class. We are going to continue with our 79 lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. Also, in front of you, there are two sets of notes. One is the outline short notes for our last Sunday's Sunday class, 1st of July. The other one is the Thursday class, 28th of June. So we will try to go through this short note quickly. Okay, let us now get ready for puja. You can compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tetiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tetiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tetiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tetiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. achievement. Dhammang achievement. Sanghang achievement. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax your body and mind here, and maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we can start. Okay, turn to page 1. We will read to you the opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this is a very important opening verse. You have to really understand the meaning. You should treasure your good condition and opportunity. Okay, before we continue on page 395, you have some short notes in front of you. We will start off with the 6th Paitia Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta short notes, dated 1st July, which is our last Sunday. Okay. Brathio went through the Jai Krishnamurti daily code on extraordinary seeing. So this extraordinary seeing is described by us Buddhists as the direct seeing. That is, to see things as they are without the interference of past experiences and the thought process or your memory, which is your conditioning. Then Brathio did a detailed review of the outline short notes for the Thursday class dated 21st June 2018. So this one was the previous one. You have to go back and go through. Then the third point is, when there is mental stirring, one cannot be aware. So you have to be mindful of this. When your mind stir, react to sense experience, when it's preoccupied with the thinking, the fear, the worry, the emotion, you can never be aware because you are lost in thought. This is what heedlessness is all about. So to be aware of heedless thinking is very important. When you are not mindful, you have to have the awareness to be aware. The moment you are aware of inattention or heedless thinking, at that moment you are already aware. That's why Krishnamurti called it the he didn't use the word in awareness, he used the word the attention of inattention is attention. When you are aware that you are lost in thought, the awareness of heedless thinking is itself an awareness. So this one is very important for you to develop the understanding, so that whenever your mind starts to react to sense experience, to stir, to get itself lost in thought, proliferate, and doing all those things, it means you cannot be aware anymore, because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's silent, attentively, in attention, or aware, or it's lost in thought. Point number 4, whatever that is logical may not always be the truth. And always remember, knowledge is not wisdom. Only wisdom or understanding free one from suffering. If one merely tell oneself not to be angry when one is angry, This will not help, as this is a form of suppression. It's not wisdom. Because when similar issues or condition crops up, anger would still arise. However, if one understands via acceptance of the fact that things and people are just the way they are, then anger cannot arise. One will not react with anger to any situation again after having those understanding. When you can have this right view to accept the world as the world, people as the way they are, then your mind is at peace. So that wisdom free you. Then point number 6. Brother explained the difference between path and friction, enlightenment stages. Under the 7 stages of purification or Satta Visuddhi, there is a stage of purification called purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path. In Pali is the Magamaga Jnanadasana Visuddhi. Path here means path leads to wisdom and enlightenment, whereas non-path leads to delusion and deviant path. Path here means your cultivation is on the right path leading to enlightenment. And when you are on the path, your enlightenment factors will keep on arising. One must have already got a glimpse of Nibbana or cessation of form and mind to be on the path. That's why this cessation, the glimpse of Nibbana, it has to happen, otherwise you cannot be on the path at all. And friction here means having reached the completion of cultivation of the path, leading to stability of understanding that can enable one to share and teach those understanding. It's like after you have gone through the cessation, even a glimpse, your nature have the understanding really. But this understanding is not stable. Not stable in the sense that you cannot express it, you cannot share it. But your nature know what this is. That's why when you encounter a problem or situation, even know what to do. But the form and mind at that time, without the friction, cannot explain to you what this thing is. So it's only after you have gone through that cessation, that glimpse of Nibbana, for that particular stage of enlightenment, then whatever you come to experience in life, you can contemplate into it, reflect on it, and it will give you the understanding until this understanding becomes very, very stable. Then when you have the ability to express it, explain it, and share it, it means you have reached the fruition of that particular stage of enlightenment. It can be Sotapanna, first stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, second stage, or Anagami, third stage, or even Arahanta. Then, point number 7 is, if one is on the right path, the 7 main factors of enlightenment are sati, sati, dhamma vichaya, virya, piti, pasati, samadhi, and upekha will keep on arising. The English translation are stated next to it. Sati is mindfulness, dhamma vichaya is dhamma investigation, then virya is spiritual zeal, piti is joy, pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, then samadhi is the collected and unwavering mind, then upekha is equanimity born of wisdom. All the 4 stages of sainthood of Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahant have their own path and friction. The 4 stages of sainthood enlightenment, linking the 10 fetters that binds living beings to samsara, will also explain. So if you want to understand them, you listen to the sharing. Then number 9, Miss Lee passed the note to Tammy and the mother. They just came in. the mother also, huh? There are two sets. Take one each. We are at note number 9, huh? We just finished note number 8, huh? Yeah. So we just finished the path and fruition part, huh? Yeah. You can go back and read, huh? If you miss it. Then number 9, note number 9. Brother Jin Hao asks whether he can contemplate while doing the walking meditation after he has reached some point of calmness. Brother Teo advised Brother Jin Hao to find this out himself, meaning you have to investigate into it and you have to inquire into it to develop your own understanding. Otherwise, you will be gullible because you expect an answer. So, I put here, Brother Jin Hao, to find this out himself, meaning investigate into it, instead of waiting for his answer. The question should not be what one should be doing. That's why your question should be, if you want to do walking meditation to develop mindfulness, then you just do, means you must understand what you are doing. If you want to do walking to develop the mindfulness, stabilize it, then just do. There is no more question about, should I do this or should I do that? There is doubt. Because you don't know what you are doing in any more meditation. Why do you do walking? If you feel that your sati is not stable, you need to stabilize it, then you just do. And when you do, don't be foolish. Huh? Don't try to be aware of walking. Just relax, silent, and walk. Walk until the mindfulness comes. Body and mind is one. Then the form and mind will understand what sati is. That's why don't try to know, just do. Because sati cannot be practiced. Sati has to be developed. You just relax, silent, and walk mindfully. Just aware, like the Buddha said, walking aware, standing aware. Whatever you do, just aware, and it will come. Then when it comes, you will understand. That's why I replied to him, if he wants to walk, to do the walking, meditation, to develop mindfulness or sati, then just go ahead and do. He should just walk naturally, until body and mind is one, without the thought saying that, he wants to be mindful, as often advised by Brother Teo. So once that happens, then the form and mind that is in sati will understand what sati is without the words. Now this is very important. So sati is no more a concept or an idea. It's that thing that no verbal words can describe. Because when your form and mind experience it, it will know what that thing is. But no words can describe it. But to communicate, to develop understanding, we need to use words because this is a conditioned world. That's why this word has to come out. But the word is not the thing, like I always share. Even J. Krishnamurti also share, it's the same. So once that happens, then the form and mind that is in sati will know what sati is without the word. If he wants to contemplate, then just contemplate. Yeah, a calm mind in creativity. Just do, and the result will automatically arise if he had done them correctly with the appropriate faith, sincerity, and understanding. That's why these three, very important. You must have the faith, you must be sincere, and you must have the understanding. means pariyati, at least the first stage of Dhamma, learning of the teaching. Yeah. Then it will drive you to cultivate. That's why virya will be there, the perseverance. Then number 10. This one is a question by Tammy. Sister Tammy asks, after doing the mind serving method, come metta meditation to decondition the heedless thinking. The mind is calmer. Then I'm supposed, the word is extra. I'm supposed to stabilize it via anapanasati. So the IS, you can cancel it off. But I'm averse towards anapanasati. So is there other way to stabilize the mindfulness? Bertio advised Tammy that any method or skillful means and technique that she is familiar and comfortable with, she can use them. There is no hard and fast rule or rigid rules. It all depends on the individual's preference. If there is sloth and torpor, the second question by Tammy, if there is sloth and torpor during meditation, what must I do? Bratio replied, Bratio asked back, what do you normally do? Then Tammy replied, I try to open my eyes, she replied. Then I asked, Bratio asked, does it help? And are you able to stabilize your mindfulness? Because the purpose of formal meditation is to train your mind to develop the sati, then stabilize it. So in this case, anapanasati is to stabilize it. So if you don't use anapanasati, you go and open your eye, does it help you to develop that? So that one is very important. Then Tammy replied, sometimes it helps to keep me awake, but I still can't stabilize my mindfulness. See, when you open your eye, of course, you feel less sleepy. But it doesn't help you to stabilize your mindfulness. Then I replied to her. Bratio said, can you remember what I used to advise you all when it comes to sloth and torpor? You are supposed to inquire, what is sloth and torpor? It is one of the five mental hindrances, right? So don't try to suppress or fight it or do away with it via aversion or disliking it. In doing so, you are creating another mental hindrance of aversion or ill will or dislike. So this is delusion. Why can't you develop the acceptance of it via understanding that without the five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will continue to arise? So don't create the mental hindrance or aversion unnecessarily. Even those who note pain is the same. What is pain? It's a negative feeling that you don't like. So it's also an aversion, one of the mental hindrance of ill will. Understanding this, you can then apply the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought or spiritual faculties of virya to overcome the sloth and torpor. If this is not effective, then the second way is to think of the consequence of allowing this mental hindrance of sloth and torpor to stay in your mind. It will of course hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness, right? So you have to abandon it via the third way, which is just aware, or the awareness way. Just be aware of sloth and torpor, and be with it via maintaining silent to be at peace with it, without arising any dislike or aversion. Without aversion, there is no mental hindrance. Then sati will take over. When this happens, all of a sudden there will be a shift in consciousness that can result in great awareness in your mind, leading to clarity and virya. Then the sloth and torpor is totally gone. This cultivation is based on the fourth foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, first category of practice on mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. The Buddha said, when the mental hindrance of sloth and torpor is present, you just aware. Imply no aversion towards it. Even pain is the same. Pain is also a mental hindrance. There is an aversion which you don't like. Just maintain awareness and be at peace with the sloth and torpor. And when the shift of consciousness occurs, you will know how the arisen mental hindrance of sloth and torpor cease to be. Because when the shift of consciousness comes, all of a sudden your mind becomes very bright. Then this virya will be there. And your old mind state of sloth and torpor, sleepiness, completely gone. Then you realize if you don't arise any mental hindrance, you can maintain the silent mind, which is sati, then this sati, which is one of the spiritual faculty, will take over. That's how your shift of consciousness can happen. And that's how you understand. So like the Satipatthana say, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. It comes to be because you don't have spiritual faculty, like you have always been, you know. Then when you continue to be silent, at peace with it, do not arise any more mental hindrance, then you silence your mind and be with it, then sati will take over. Then all of a sudden the shift in consciousness will happen. So when the shift in consciousness happens, then you realize your sloth and torpor is gone. That's the reason why you can understand how the arisen mental hindrance of sloth and torpor cease to be. It ceases to be because your spiritual faculty come back. That's it. Finish. You will also come to know how the earlier hasn't arisen mental hindrance comes to be. Because before you meditate, there is no sloth and torpor. So you will understand that sloth and torpor is dependent originating due to the lack of virya, or your body is too tired. Once you see this in the meditation, you will understand how to root out this sloth and torpor. So this is a very important understanding. So when you meditate, understanding, you will know how to attend to it. You will not do things like before. Gullibly follow instruction. They ask you to note, you note. Someone go and label, note, pain, pain, pain. Sleepy, sleepy, sleepy. You are verbalizing. And when you verbalize, sati cannot be there. Then when you verbalize the word, make you dislike that feeling or that mental hindrance. So there is this aversion, dislike towards it. That's why it becomes a hindrance, and it will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner mindfulness. Okay. Where was my... the other sheet of notice here. Okay, turn to the 28th of June, short notes. So we just finished the 1st of July. Okay, page 1. Outline short notes for our Thursday class dated 28 June. Brother Teo ran through the 21st June 2018 Thursday class outline short note and explained certain key points as he reads them. One of the key points is on anger, fear, phobia, grief, and other emotions that arise in the living being. Always remember, all this were never you, because they were not present before the stirring of the mundane mind. This emotion or wrong thought were not inherent within your true mind or true nature. They are actually conditioned arising mind state, dependent originating following the 12 link of Paticca-samuppada as taught by the Buddha. With this understanding, one can just allow such mind state to settle down on their own, to enable one to realize that natural state of inner peace, stillness and tranquility before the stirring. So meditation is very simple. Don't do anything. Any of this negativity or mind state, like anger, restlessness, phobia, anger, hatred, and all those things, when they arise, understand that they are not you. Because before you meditate, they were not around. Then how did they come about? You have to trace the origination factor. They come about because you have wrong view. You stir your mind, you react, and you create them, and you feed upon them. Excuse me. Then we go to note number 2. Brightio pointed out that a common mistake among cultivators is to ask such questions when they want to learn meditation. They will ask the teacher, what meditation do you teach? Is it Vipassana? Brightio reiterated that Vipassana cannot be practiced because it is an insight or awakening. So you have to have the silent mind to insight into it, to awaken to it. It's not a method or technique. It cannot be practiced. We means the three universal characteristics of nature. And Vipassana means insight into it. Hence, Vipassana is an insight, not a practice. Such question comes from the thought that doesn't understand. For Vipassana is an awakening and insight wisdom that arises when the mind is silent and just aware of, to insight into phenomena. The awareness will be aware of what is going on within the mind. There is no thought, mind or knowledge involved in this realization. It is just an insight into truth. When the mind becomes so quiet, sensitive and mindful. Most meditation are thought-based, which use thoughts to come up with methods and techniques to meditate. Then who meditates? The thought meditates. We are following a series of instructions given, not knowing that these methods and techniques are just skillful means to anchor and train the mind. Without this basic understanding, one will think that one is practicing the so-called meditation of doing Vipassana. According to the Buddha, meditation is very simple when you understand. It is just developing heedfulness. Just train the mind to be ever mindful and use the trained mind to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. As we progress with more right view, avijja, which is ignorant, is weakened. Then the next link, which is sankhara, mental activity, will be less. So there is more awareness and less heedless habitual thinking. Without the habitual thinking, one is aware most of the time. With the further strengthening of one's right view to weaken the avijja further, the stillness of mind will grow more and more until one day when avijja is no more, the awakening can happen. Point number 4. Some people have their past cultivation to support them. People like Sariputta, Kondanya, and the five ascetic. They were able to awaken through listening or reflecting on the Buddha's word via Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya, the first and second turning wisdom. But most normal cultivators will need to stabilize their second turning wisdom to realize the silent mind to awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. Hence, without awakening, Hence, whether awakening is via sutamaya panya, cintamaya panya, or bhavanamaya panya will depend very much on the individual's past cultivation. Then point number five. When one's spiritual faculties are developed, the minute we sit, awareness is already present. One only needs to stabilize it. The determination to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path will keep cultivators on track, leading to the awakening when the conditions are met. So this is important. Eh? Point number six. However, if the spiritual faculties are not present, then one cannot meditate unless one uses a skillful mean or technique to overcome the five mental hindrances temporarily. The five mental hindrances hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. Then the question arises, why one has the mental hindrance? The reason is due to habitual thinking creating thought through avijja. The mind-sweeping method is an effective tool because it can help decondition the heedless thinking mind. There are no thoughts involved. As thinking reduces, the mind becomes quieter. But this state is still not stable. This is why a skillful means or an object of meditation is needed to stabilize this mind. The Buddha recommended Anapanasati. Eventually, the mind become more and more quiet, leading to Pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. And eventually, the stillness of mind. This is the meditative mind which can make one mindful while in the midst of life. Then note number seven. Once the mind enters sati, there is no need to use an object of meditation anymore. Many people are so fearful when they experience no breath. This is actually a good sign of progress. Bertil mentioned that his nature gained his understanding through his own cultivation, even though he had no prior knowledge of meditation at that time. Next page. Yeah? He went into absorption the first time he did that, but later another Thai monk, come teacher, Prachayantra, taught him the highest meditation via developing the daily mindfulness. And this make him realize that his mind was still in a conditioned state of apana samadhi. Bratia decided to release the concentrated mind state energy. Bratia decided to release the concentrated mind state energy he was in and use the silent mind to meditate via the daily mindfulness while in the midst of life. His sati was so stable that even the most subtle movement of mind could be detected. He was fully aware throughout the day, at every moment of sense experience and perception, he was in sati. The awareness and phenomena move as one, and there is no thinking at all. There was just pure awareness in every moment of sense perception. Mental suppression, concentration, noting, verbalization, etc. will cause the mind to be even more active. Bertil used the analogy of swimming with a float to explain how one should meditate. Applying Akumulis principle to swim, the weight of the water displaced by our body is equal to the upthrust buoyancy force created. If we just relax and do not struggle, this upthrust, which is equal to the mass of water displaced by our body, will push the body up because the natural state of the body is buoyancy. That is, water is lighter than water. Sorry, the body is lighter than water. Similarly, the meditation becomes very easy. If we relax and silence our mind, that is, do not struggle and try to meditate. Do not struggle or try to meditate via verbalization. The moment you are without thought, we are already aware. So there is no need to try and be aware. The float is useful to assist us to swim at first. Similarly, method and technique is used in meditation as skillful means, like the float. Initially, one may need them, but eventually we have to give them up. As long as we don't give up all these methods and techniques or any object of meditation, we will never understand how to meditate. Once the mind has entered sati, there is no need for the meditation object to anchor the mind anymore. It is already aware naturally. So this one is a very important understanding. Master Hui Neng approached meditation by taking us directly to the true mind. Without thought, you already aware, and that is your true mind. Then one can see things clearly with mindfulness. How avijja, mainly self-delusion, causes one to react and stir one's mind, thereby creating the mental hindrance. These mental hindrances are the source of evil roots. Avijja arises due to our wrong view. So Bradfield advises us to straighten our view first. When Sankara sees, we can then insight into phenomena. Most of you have been taught the traditional thought-based meditation until you are so conditioned. It makes you believe that meditation must involve the thought, not knowing that it is this thinking or chattering mind that you use to meditate is the one creating more sankhara to delude you. So this part, you must see it in your meditation. You must have the mindfulness. Then note number 12. In the field of meditation and spirituality, thinking is not needed. What is needed is wisdom. Thinking is only necessary for us to use it to live life, to develop skill and knowledge, and perform certain mechanical tasks in life. Thought is a tool for us to use, hence the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought is wisdom, then thoughts become right thought. Then note number 13. Bradfield mentioned, I read again. Bradfield mentioned the sad case of a college student who shot himself in the toilet recently. I think this one is Sungai Wei student, Sungai Wei College. Such cases happen due to avijja, lack of understanding. And this shows the power of thought, which can delude and deceive us into acting out foolishly. It is not about being rich or poor. A lot of such cases are due to karmic consequence from the past. Where this kid, where he can afford to study in Sungai Wei College, he is not poor. He has the means. And yet they can have this type of depressive thought. Sometimes they call it OCD case, obsessive compulsive disorder, means they have depression. Okay, note 14. It is important for cultivator to understand that no amount of practice can free you. It is only understanding or wisdom that can free and liberate one's mind. So, always remember, not the meditative state, the fantastic meditation. It is the understanding, the wisdom, the insight. If you don't have that, your mind cannot be free. You cannot become awakened, enlightened. Okay. Most people equate the good meditation as progress, or the fantastic experience in meditation as enlightenment. Please don't be gullible. Okay, we finish our notes, so we can go to page 395. Let me have a drink. Okay, page 395, the sutra part. The master added, all of you good knowing advisors should purify your mind and listen to my explanation of the Dhamma. If you wish to realize all understanding, the word knowledge is not correct, you must understand the samadhi of one mind and the samadhi of one conduct. If you do not dwell in marks anywhere and do not give rise to hate or love, do not grasp or reject, and do not calculate advantage or disadvantage, production or destruction while in the midst of marks, but instead remain tranquil, calm, and yielding, then you will have achieved the samadhi of one mark. See? This samadhi of one mark is a very unique samadhi. Means when you are in the state of true samadhi, born of wisdom, you will be able to behave this way. Your mind becomes different. So I read to you again, then you will understand. If you do not dwell in marks anywhere, means all the three marks, mark of a self-cultivating, mark of living being, and mark of others, or mark of life, Dhamma, everything within the conditioned world. If you do not dwell in mark anywhere, and do not give rise to the duality, hate or love, and you do not grasp or reject, means attach or relinquish, and do not calculate advantage or disadvantage, production or destruction while in the midst of mark, is while in the midst of life. But instead remain tranquil, calm, but not rigid. That's a yielding. Yielding means what? You yield. Means what? No. Here the meaning is different. Like normally you say, okay lah, I give way lah, I yield to you lah. No. Here is accord and flow, understand? It's not rigid, understand? It's yielding. Means when condition like that, it will not interfere, understand? When there is condition, it will arise and do. That's why here he used this word, it is not rigid, yielding. Then you will have achieved the samadhi of one mind. See? Can you remain in this state? Without this samadhi born of wisdom, you cannot. Because duality will affect you. You will stir, you will react. So this duality is very powerful. They call it the day you all mentioned, what, your Mandarin equivalent. What tui something? The xiang tui fa. The other one is 分别心. When you discriminate, you create duality too. Then when you develop the 相对法, the opposites, yin yang, opposite, then the duality also arise. So you must dwell within the conditioned world, means while in the midst of mark, which Hui Ning came to understand, the conditioned world has all this. The form and mind exist within the conditioned world. Living being exists within the conditioned world. So these are the mark within the conditioned world. But if you do not dwell in them while in the midst of mark, it's just like the lotus, remember? The lotus? What is the lotus? This lotus analogy is very good. Lotus. Lotus analogy. Anybody know how to draw lotus? Don't ask me to draw, I'm very lousy. Nibuhe. Who know how to draw lotus? Come, David. Draw a lotus, above the lotus pond. Let's say this is a lotus pond. Then the lotus come up. Draw. Wow, not bad, Just a lotus flower. Very good. Sadhu. Very good. Wow, sadhu. Oh, you are trading art. Oh, you like lotus. Oh, no wonder. Very good. Sadhu. Oh, very good. Then the stock come down. The stock come down. Okay. Then the water. Very good. I know. So you see, this is the lotus pond. Let's say this is the part very muddy. Very muddy, full of plants and all those things, whatever. And this is the surface. Pond surface. Pond surface. Okay, so at this point, you see this lotus flower, it arises from the lotus pond. Understand? So this is the lotus pond. So lotus pond is just like samsara. Okay? In the midst of life. In the midst of mark. Within the conditioned world. So from here, it arises. But it stands above. You understand? Then it flowers. That's why this one is a symbol of enlightened being. They also came as a form and mind within the conditioned world, in the midst of mark. And yet, they stand above, beyond mark. Do you understand? That's why they can be part of the lotus pond. But they have the wisdom to go beyond. And that is the meaning. In the midst of marks, you must have that ability not to be deluded by mark or cling attached to mark. That's why there is no duality, nothing. So now I read the statement again. The samadhi are one mark. You will understand it very clearly. So Hui Ling said, if you do not dwell in mud anywhere, means you have the wisdom, and do not give rise to all the duality of hate and love, or grasp and reject, and do the what they call calculation of advantage or disadvantage, means greed, production and destruction, while in the midst of mud, means within the condition world. But instead, remain what? Tranquil. What is tranquil? Tranquil is very quiet, isn't it? Correct or not? When your mind is very tranquil, tranquility is quiet, isn't it? Very quiet until very still, isn't it? That's why they call it tranquility or stillness of mind. So if your mind can be in this state of tranquility, remain tranquil, calm, but yet yielding, means it's not a rigid statue there, understand not? Like those in the temple, they go and do samatha, they sit there until you call them also, they cannot come out. It's like a statue. Sometimes their consciousness went out. Then the Zen master will come, either ring a bell and wake you up or wake you. Then he say, we got enough Buddha statue here, we don't need another one. Buddha statue got no consciousness on it. Correct or not? No mind, nothing. So when you go into samatha, means the one-pointedness type of concentration, you are like without thought, without consciousness. That one is a false samadhi. They call it samatha. It's a conditioned state. So that one will trap you. So that's why Hui Ling say, this one must be able to live life. That's why it's yielding. Yeah? Then you would have achieved what? Or realized what? Samadhi of one mark. This is very important. Means this is the true samadhi, born of wisdom. Not the one that is born of a conditioned state, where the mind is mixed still. One-pointedness. Due to energy field, concentration, one point, ekagata. That's why they went into jhana. So the jhanic factor to go into jhana, they are all very different. Of all the five jhanic factors, there's only one enlightenment factor inside that. The rest are all not. So this jhanic factor, you all know, the five jhanic factors, what are they? Five jhanic factors to go into jhana. What are they? First one? Huh? Start with B. What? What is this? Vitaka? Vichara? What is the meaning? Then? Piti? The fourth one is? Sukha? Last one? Ekagata. These are the five jhanic factors. What is vitaka? They always tell you, go and note, go and focus, go and concentrate. This one. This is applied thought, understand or not? Apply your thought, understand or not? You can remember this word. Yeah? The Thai tradition and the Burmese tradition, very common. They use this one. Applied thought. They apply the thought there. That's why thought based. Then, the second one is what? Sustain the thought. Very good. That means sustain thought. Means you keep on one pointedness, fix that thought, anasana. Like if your object of meditation is the 10 kasina. The 10 kasina, you know what? Light, all the light color. Then they got the earth kasina, the four elements, water kasina. So they visualize this earth element. Sometimes they put the water in their bath, understand? Then they keep on looking at the water. Then they keep on reciting apo, 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 apo. Then get this, they call it a preliminary image. Don't know parikama or don't know what object, meditation object. Until this one become whole day follow them, understand? Like you look at the candlelight, if you keep on looking at it, even you close your eye, the candlelight will appear inside your mind. How many of you have tried? Then after that, for 1 minute, then after that you close your eye, the candlelight is still there. There is no seeing consciousness, but the image is inside there. Then when you continue to look, you experience something very, very beautiful. During the early day, I remember I did it. I got a white piece of paper. I get a black pen. I put a dot there. I keep on looking at this dot. I didn't focus, no. I just aware. After you can come and try. You see what happened. You will learn a lot of things. This dot is not always there. When you are aware of it, when you keep on looking at it, you know why. We know signs there. On the whiteboard is always there. But when you look at it continuously, aware, some of the awareness, the dot is not there. You go and try. Means, whatever that you can perceive through your consciousness, you think is real. That which you doesn't perceive, you say is not real. So at the moment, when the awareness is aware, sometimes this dot, you cannot see. You try, you cannot see. That's why if you don't go and try all this, you don't know what meditation is. You can never understand. So this one is telling you, your senses is not what you think. Because all these senses are dependent originating. When the condition is there, you will see. Condition not there, you don't see. Because that speed at which you perceive, sometimes is very fast, very fast. But the retina, that retina that able to perceive the thing is not fast enough. Understand? That's why during that moment, the awareness is aware, but there's nothing there. You understand? You go back and try. Then what is the third one? Piti is an enlightenment factor. Right? You feel what? Peaceful, calm, spiritual calmness. Why? Because when you apply your thought and you sustain your thought, like Buddha, 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 understand not? Or Sama, Arahang, Sama, Arahang, Sama, until the whole thing become fixed into it. Then what happens? If you sustain this thought until that thought doesn't think. Because when everything is fixed into one point, they call it one-pointedness. Ekakata, or one-pointedness. One-pointedness of mind. This one is Ekakata. When everything is clear at one point, what happens? When you fix the mind, it cannot think, isn't it? You got it now. When you focus, concentrate until the mind cannot think, what happens? This one-pointedness will become what? No thought. You understand? Because it cannot think, understand? It's always focus, focus, focus. Means you apply your thought there, sustain that thought there. Whatever that thing is, just that object of meditation, you keep on focusing, concentrating. Then, no thought. But this is not Huining's no thought, understand? This one is not a free mind. This one is a conditioned state, focusing. Then you know who say there is no thought. Who say there is no thought? Huh? Who? The meditator, right? Correct or not? And who is the meditator? The thought. That's why no thought is still a thought. Because the meditator that experienced this, that's why Krishnamurti say that direct seeing, the extraordinary seeing, is not an experience. You don't experience anything. That one is still mind, thought. And this is the no thought that is due to a conditioned state. So this one is focus. Condition state. Not a free mind. So here is not Huining's first, what they call the hallmark of Huining, no thought. This one is a focused conditioned state, not a free mind. So this no thought is born of a conditioned state, which is focusing, concentration. And this is under samatha. So this is samatha meditation, one-pointedness. Samatha meditation. So this jhana or jhanic factor, they are all samatha. It's not mindfulness. It's not awareness. So when you understand that the meditator who say, I have no thought, who say that? It's the thought. Understand? So, the thought which is the meditator. So the thought, which is the meditator, says that. That's why no thought here is still a thought. So it is not the real no thought. Understand? The awareness that is completely still, yeah, awareness is before the knowing, before the perception, before the arising of any aggregate of mind. That one is a free mind. And that free mind, because of understanding, wisdom, it does not arise a thought. That's why the real sati is aware, without thought. When you release all the energy, when you just relax and silent, and let the natural state of mind come back. Because the natural state of mind before the stirring, before the focusing and the concentration is already that true mind, that stillness. Understand? Why can't you just relax silent? and let things be. Then all this thinking, emotion, all will slow down and cease. And when it ceases, there is nothing more. So you don't need anything to force the mind into stillness, into concentration, to make it still, without thought. No need. That's why that is the real meditative mind, not the one-pointedness, ekagata. But this one is held together by energy. Do you understand? That's why you do this, it's thought-based, you can never free. And this one is not yielding. Completely sit down there, cannot move. Don't have the daily mindfulness. It cannot be in the state of awareness without thought in the midst of life. That one, they had to carry that concentration with them, that jhana with them. And that one is a conditioned state, not a free mind. That's why this type of meditation, samatha, is different from the one that Hui Ning teach. So this jhanic factor, after applied thought, sustained thought, then no thought, their version of no thought, will make you very calm, isn't it? You don't think anymore, isn't it? That's how you experience piti, spiritual calmness. Spiritual calmness. Then when you continue to relax into it, you will experience blissfulness, sukhang. Blissfulness of mind. Then this one is one-pointedness. Huh? One-pointedness. So now you understand the difference between the two types of meditation. The other one that the Buddha taught, they don't need the jhanic factor. They have the five spiritual faculty. Understand not? What are the five spiritual faculty? Saddha, virya, sati. Sati must be there. When there is sati, piti will arise. Anasana. That's like the enlightenment factor will arise. And that one is a natural state. That sati is awareness before the knowing. That is a free mind. That's why that one is the real one. That can meditate, can investigate into Dhamma, can arise all the other understanding. So the five spiritual faculties, saddha, virya, sati, leading to mindfulness, samadhi, that's why you don't cling on to sukha. It will straight away go to samadhi. Then, sati, samadhi, were sitting as they are to arise the wisdom. That's why the two types of meditation are different. One is with the five spiritual faculties. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance is to be. Technically, you don't have to do anything to the mental hindrance. Because once the spiritual faculty is stabilized, the hindrance cannot come out. Do you understand? So you need to work on the spiritual faculty. That's why the daily mindfulness must come until the sati is continuous. Throughout the day, you are in the state of sati. When you are in the state of sati, you will experience samadhi. You will be able to see things as they are. Then with that sati, you can investigate Dhamma. All the enlightenment factor will come out. You don't have to go through all this jhanic thing. This one will trap you. Yeah, this one is within the field of thought. And the reason why in India last time, during the Buddha's time, all the teachers before him all do jhana, is because they don't know how to train the mind. They don't know how to tame the mind. They have to force it into stillness. They have to force it not to think, so that they develop the one-pointedness or absorption meditation, which is continuous mindfulness. They develop until the sati become apana samadhi. Until it cannot move. It's not a free mind. It's so still. It enters absorption. It's not one-pointedness. Absorption. The mind absorbs into it until so calm, so still. That one is still a conditioned state, not the real one. What the Buddha did is a free mind without thought. That one is the real meditative mind. That's like sati, leading to samadhi. And before samadhi, is actually pasati. Pasati. Pasati is the stillness of mind, tranquility. That's why you have to meditate until the anapanasati, like so subtle until no more movement, until the mind enters sati. Means the mind is already awake. You no need to train it anymore. No need anapanasati to hold it, to anchor it. Because the mind that is already in sati is aware on its own. It doesn't need anything, like swimming. The float is redundant. Because you already know how to float. Because that is your natural tendency, your original true mind. Naturally, your mind is like that, that true mind. Then meditation becomes very easy. You don't need to rely on anything. Just stay with the silence, the awareness, the stillness. It's just aware. And through that, it can arise what they call the extraordinary seeing, or the direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are. Not through the conditioned mind, your views, your opinion and all those things. No more. It's seeing, reality, the pure awareness, perception. Okay? Hopefully with this, it becomes clearer to you. We are thought-based meditation. A lot of people get trapped and they cannot understand the real cultivation. Okay. What's the timeline? Oh, still got 15 minutes. You got any question? Regarding this? You have, you can ask. Anybody? Pass the mic to Tammy. Yeah.
I just want to say something that happened in the workplace, just regarding the vitaka and vichara. Because now it's a bit busy, so I noticed that the mind was like, it wants to focus, but when it works, it wants to focus, and then because have the intention wanting to do it, finish fast, and then want to settle off. So that's when I'm working, I don't really feel it. But especially when I come for the sitting, then I can feel that the, you know, when you're working, you don't really feel it.
Correct, but correct. When we come, you are absorbed into your work.
So it's kind of like
has become a passion. You like that thing. It's just like you watch a video. Wow, you are so absorbed into it. You don't feel tired. You are fully concentrated on the video or the show, the cinema show. So it's the same like when you are reading a novel that is very interesting. So it's the same. But this one, the passion, your interest, your whatever, they call it the passion. In Pali, it's called chanda, I think, chanda. Your passion for that thing. So when you have, that's why you must like what you do. Then you are absorbed into it. When you are absorbed into it, means you use your thought, understand? You try to understand, you work. This is for working. Fine, no problem. Then when you come out, when you come to meditation, what happened to your mind?
When I come to meditation, I report the Thursday one.
I know.
When I sit, I found that the whole energy stays.
Yeah, still there.
Pattern, you know.
Yeah, still there. Then, arising.
Wants to focus,
That's why the meditation is for you to observe all this. This is the conditioning. When you are so absorbed into the thing without your awareness, then all this will happen. Then it becomes a conditioning. Then when you want to meditate, what happens is when you want to relax, this is what memory is all about. Because when you hold on to a lot of this and get yourself involved until you like doing it, then it will continuously arise as memory. That's a thought is respond to memory. Because you like it so much. Then when you come home also, you can recall what you did. Oh, just now, I should have done it like that. I shouldn't have done it like that. Understand? That thought still continue. Understand? Then if somebody were to discuss something with you, then you find it very interesting and you think he is knowledgeable than you, then you will continuously reflect, yeah, I think my boss is right. His advice is good. You will continue with all this. This is when you use this mundane mind for worldly things, it will have this conditioning. But no harm. Understand it. Because when you need to work, it works. Understand? Then later on, when your mind understands, it will develop the straightening of view, not to grasp and not to cling. Then you will know that this form of mind is for me to use. Then you learn how to use it. When I need to use, I use. When I need to remember things, I write down. I don't want to hold on to memory. So you have a notebook or a sheet of paper to write down so that you don't go and what they call load your memory. When you load your memory, you are actually trying to remember too many things, like your meeting. Forget about it. Just write it down. Then you just give it an attention and awareness. You just aware. Okay, next Sunday, meeting, where? Finish. After that, don't even try to remember. But when that day comes, just before that day or the day before, that memory will come up. You make a note. You make an awareness of it. When I'm aware, I can recollect. Understand? But I'm not holding on to it. I'm not like allowing it to disturb me. Otherwise, every day, you will try to remember. Ayo, must remember, next Wednesday got teaching, got meeting. But then, sometimes like your Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, why you no need to remember, you know how to come. Because you are attending it very frequently, and it's weekly. So easy. So today do what, tomorrow do what, because you have this routine. That's why when your routine is established, you will know how to do it. You will know how to follow your routine. So what is happening to you is good for you to see. You find that the mind that is focusing, concentrating, and trying to get absorbed in doing the office thing, is still repeating its pattern. Except that now it's not like in the office. That's why when you relax and silent, you will understand what J. Krishnamurti tried to explain to you. Thought is respond to memory. If you have not unknowingly cling and grasp at it, you pay attention, understand? You give meaning and you are so absorbed into it and you like doing it. So all this will go into your memory without you knowing it. Nothing wrong. Just see it. Understand it. As long as you don't attach to it, then nothing will happen. Understand? You don't, after office, come back also think about it. Do you understand? And then it will continue to affect you. That's why meditation is the best time to relax and release all this. Release means what? Like I say, when thought arise, means you know you are having this type of thinking, the heedless thinking. But this is not what you want to think. Understand? You just want to relax and silent, but this thought come out. Why? Will it respond to memory? So you understand this is part of the mundane mind that is conditioned to behave this way. I just let it be. Let it be means what? I silence everything. If I don't resist that thought, what happened? I got no aversion towards it, isn't it? I got no dislike towards it, isn't it? I can be at peace with it, isn't it? Because the untrained mind thinks. When sati is not stable, it will think. Understand? Because in the office, when you are doing all this, you are not stable yet. You are not mindful. When you are mindful, don't have all these things on. when I'm mindful, I remember when I was working as an engineer, I got a lot of work on. Then I realized the mind tell me, you know, if you want to suffer, you go and remember. You go and perceive. You go and think. Because every of these movements at that time, my mind was so sensitive. You know. I saw suffering inside there. You know. Every moment of perception, even wanting to know, wanting to remember. That's why the mind can be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of sankhara. All this, the fine sankhara, the fine movement together with the fine suffering within, this nature can feel. Well, it's so sensitive. Then it tells you, you want to suffer, go and do all this type of thing. Then the mind that understand will know how to slow down. Understand? And it just relax, silent. Then I start to understand. I cannot try to remember. Even though I work for private sector, where I came out into the private sector to test. It was a consulting firm. Where I need to handle a lot of projects. I need to handle a lot of meeting and all those things. Then of course coordinate the project, the design, everything. So it's very heavy workload. But because I was so experienced, I understand the job so well, I no need to prepare. It's just like delivering Dhamma. I no need to prepare anything. I just have to remember some dates. Because when I go to meeting, I need to remember certain dates, important dates. Like when they discuss the extension of time, all those things. Then what are the things that you have to maybe submit by what they are. So I write them all down. Then before the meeting, I check through. I make sure the office staff has completed. Then I check. Then I go for meeting. Then when I was at the meeting, my mind is free. I don't even try to remember anything. Then as the thing was discussed, I just silent. I listen. Then when it comes to my turn, my agenda, I will know how to explain. I will know how to answer. I don't keep memory anymore. If I want to check the date and all those things, the facts, then I look at my notes. That's it. Finished. Yeah. So this is how you can develop the ability to work. Just like the lotus flower. In the midst of duality, understand? You can stand above. Means you don't attach to mark. You don't cling on to mark. You know this is in the midst of mark, the conditioned world. They have all this. But you know this pertains to the mundane mind, the conditioned world. No reality. So the form and mind got a duty where they hire me to work. I need to deliver. Understand? I got a duty. So I work. But my case was I want to test myself. Well, I want to find out, see whether my mind still can entangle into problem or not. Well, before I came out, my mind already transformed. Yeah. I just purposely want to find out in the private sector, how is it like? And how is it going to affect my mind? Yeah. That's why after that, I understand how all these things can happen. So for your case, you just relax into it, silent. Then you see how beautiful it is. After a while, when you are patient, all these things that you are doing in the office, it will start to slow down. Initially, it may take you longer. It may take you about 10 to 15 minutes before you start to see the slowing down. You have to be very patient. But later on, when you are already skillful, within 1 or 2 minutes, maximum 3 minutes, straight away this one slow down and still. That's why immediately you are already in the silent mind state. Sati come back to you. No matter how busy you are in the midst of day, like when I was tested in the private sector, I went and worked. Then the first 3 months, a lot of work. Then I have to, like what you go through, I have to do design, I have to read out, I have to understand. Then I know this is part of life. Because as long as I have this job, I will have to go through this. But I mitigate it through my understanding. So what happened is, after I finished the day, I remember the first 1 week, I realized this sankhara start to appear again. But that time, my mundane mind haven't collapsed. So I saw this, but I knew what it is. Sankhara anicham, sankhara dukkha, namma anatta. So I just let it be. Then, by the time I am back to my daily life, my daily mindfulness come back. Understand? Then when my daily mindfulness come back, I can see this thing coming out. But it doesn't disturb me. That's why I understand if I don't create mental hindrance, I don't go and react and stir and become unhappy over it. Then I'm at peace. When I'm at peace, the moment I sit down to meditate or relax, but at that time I still go and attend meditation at my second last teacher's place. We used to gather there. Then the moment I sat down, I realized this sankhara stana. But very fast, within 1 or 2 minutes, slow down, still. Then I knew what happened. That's why when she asked me to report, I report exactly that. And she knew my nature different. That's why every time about sati, she will ask me to explain. Because she got one incident after I reported certain thing that happened to my nature. She told me, "Do you know who are you?" She asked me 3 times. I said, "I don't know." Then after that, she told me, "I came with a very heavy vow." Then I straight away know what my vow is. I say, "I know." Then after that, he said, "Do you know, is it your nature, is it in the past, you have perfected this mindfulness, is it? Your mindfulness, you have reached a level where monk also cannot do. Because that time, the direct seeing was so powerful. That one, I remember, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Really happened. I was having my bhava fully aware. Then my mind becomes so still, so silent. Then I was fully aware. That time my mundane mind hasn't collapsed. Then after I finished my bhava, I came down fully aware. Then I was down stairs, my house. Then I got one Toyota Light East where I bought to ferry the monks on, and my teacher also. As usual, I just normal awareness. I look at the Toyota Light East. The moment I look at it, the awareness, the whole van gone. It's not the van go missing. You physics, you know what? The van has to be there. But mind over matter, at that moment, the van really no more. Completely disappear. Then I thought, what is this? Cannot be. Then you know what I did? I looked opposite my house. There is one bungalow house with a tree there. The moment I aware, that tree also gone. Then I realized, no wonder the real form is emptiness, emptiness is form. It can be understood in another way. Because when my consciousness, the vibration of my direct seeing, it has reached a vibration that is so fine, it has gone beyond the normal perception. Understand? The normal perception of images. That's why that whole thing is gone. Of course, you can say, my own matter. But that split second. That's why when people ask me this, the great magician, that very thin David Copperfield, you know he disappeared the Statue of Liberty. They use high-speed camera to capture, and for a few seconds, the Statue of Liberty was missing. It can be done, understand or not? It's mind power, understand or not? If it didn't, citta niyama. But all this no use, understand or not? Unless you can develop wisdom, no point. That's how it happened until the sati become like that. Then after that, everything I see become different. Then the mindfulness is so stable. Then not long after that, the mundane mind collapsed. There's a lot of things happen. And that time, how to share with people? Cannot. People can never understand, because hardly anybody can develop the cultivation until that level. And a lot of these things is never written in the book anywhere by anyone. So this is the understanding that you will develop if you meditate accordingly. That's why for your case it's very good, tell me. You just relax and silence. Then you observe. The real meditation is observation. Like last Thursday, remember? You want to be a good badminton player, what you do? You observe your opponent, isn't it? Strength and weakness, isn't it? Then you observe your own, isn't it? Strength and weakness. Then you polish up, understand or not? So meditation is the same. Your opponent is the defilement, understand or not? But you don't have to fight the defilement. You need to develop wisdom. The moment you have wisdom, defilement loses its power. Because you are not fighting somebody, understand or not? It is not a game where you challenge each other. A game, you have to practice, you have to train. But when you have wisdom, it has got no power over you, you don't need to do anything to the defilement, understand or not? Like somebody wants to challenge you for world number one champion, you still need to play with him or not? No point, eh? When, like Lee Chong Wei, at the prime, nobody can beat him, understand or not? But the physical body is just a body. Sooner or later, it will lose its ability or fitness to play the way you used to play. Because body go the way of nature. Your mind can be very strong. But this game need form and mind, understand not? So we are not playing the game. We are just developing wisdom to be free from the defilement's delusion. The defilement came out through delusion. So when you have the wisdom, delusion no more, defilement cease to have power over you. Then no need to fight, understand not? He's no more your opponent, understand not? He's only your opponent when you don't understand. That's how it arises, understand not? Then you got to do something to, like, sun seal, understand not? Polish until it shines so that no dust can align. But when you already know through the understanding, no more delusion, then defilement cannot arise. What is there for you to fight? What is there for you to play? No more. Everything is just the way it is. Cease. Then you realize this, your wisdom come out, then you realize, hey, I don't have to do anything. Then like what I mentioned in the notes, all these mind states that arise, they are dependent originating, conditioned arising. Let it be. Silent. Relax. Aware. Stay with it. Be with it. And let it disappear. Then when it disappears, your true mind returns, then you realize meditation is very simple. I just have to relax and silent. That all these conditions arising mind state, it can be anger, thought or whatever, it will return to its original state before the stirring. Before the thinking, before the heedless thinking, then the true mind suddenly manifests. Actually, the true mind all the time there, without the heedless thinking, is already there. The moment you are without thought, awareness is there, sati is there. So don't try to look for it. Don't try to practice to be aware. Just silent. The moment you are silent, you will realize your true mind. Okay? So that is the real meditation. So go into it. Relax, silent, and see it. When you see it, your faith is very strong. It becomes so different, no? Oh, you all this why so stupid? Go and focus, go and concentrate, go and notice. And the meditator is so actively wanting to meditate. Do you realize? The meditator is so busy doing so many things. Why I cannot be peaceful? Who is the one saying all this? Why I still got pain? Why I still got this thinking? Why I still got emotion? Why I still get angry, unhappy. Why is my mind not peaceful? Who is asking all this? It's the thought. As long as you don't inquire and develop the understanding to meditate, you cannot break free. With the mind that is actively saying, asking all these questions, is deluded. It don't have the understanding. That's why you will continue to use your thought to meditate, to solve your problem. But thought, being thought, you cannot realize a state that is beyond thought. That's why you cannot use thought to meditate. You have to relax and silent. Then allow the silent mind to develop the observation, to understand how the delusion condition you into defilement. How your anger come to be, how your stirring of mind come to be, how your reaction to sense experience come to be. Then why you are not peaceful? Why is your sixth sense door able to create so much problem for you? But this is meditation. When you aware, you understand, then you ask yourself, why did I continuously react to sense experience and create all this duality, defilement? How can I end all this? Through wisdom, through understanding. And then you ask yourself, what did the Buddha's teaching say? And then all the words will come out. The Buddha said, see things as they are. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Then mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Then sati, leading to what they call heedfulness, apamada. So from the Dhammapada verse, all you will know what the Buddha's teaching is all about and what he is pointing towards. Then you just do what he tells you to do. Then Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then right livelihood. Then the four right effort to constantly abandon the wrong thought, prevent it from arising. Then right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action of virtue. They are still not in you. Then the last one is to refine upon it and perfect it all. Have you done all this? This is what the cultivation is all about. Then learn to accept things or see things as they are. We are like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So learn to understand what are these causes and conditions. Then the five daily contemplation, the law of karma. So from there, all the teaching will fall into place. You will understand. Then you will know how to cultivate. Then no more like before, gullible, doing all those things. Then you understand what you do in the name of meditation. When I want to meditate, I need to understand why I do that and what is meditation. If I need to train the spiritual faculty, I train. If I want to bring the heedless thinking temporarily to quietness through mind sweeping method or metta, I do it. So that I am very clear about what I am doing. If I need to reflect, contemplate, I do it. If I need to walk to stabilize the mindfulness, I do it. If I need to do anapanasati to stabilize the mindfulness, I do it. That's it. If I need to relax and develop wisdom, understanding, I just do it. The four support. So everything will be clear. Then meditation becomes very simple. Then you are no longer confused by what people tell you. That method very good, no? It seems that monk already arahant, no? Or that nun already arahant, no? You only get gullible, attracted to the word arahant, then you believe that method and technique, but you never inquire what are method, what are technique. They are not the meditation. They are series of instruction to train the mind. If my mind already trained, why I need to chase all these things? If my mind already trained, the spiritual faculty is already there. I only need to develop wisdom out of it. So when I silent, relax, and aware, the sati, the silent mind, through the daily mindfulness, will give rise to the direct seeing, the extraordinary seeing. It will give rise to the wisdom, the understanding. Then from there, you realize all the Dhamma become very clear. Then your life become different, your mind state become different. You don't like before. Small thing irritated. Small thing react, stir. No more. You can be at peace. And you got more and more love, more and more understanding. And you got more and more kindness, goodness, noble eightfold path. Keep on manifesting. That means you are on the right path. If you cannot develop the understanding to cultivate the noble eightfold path that will change you into a noble one, you are far from the enlightenment that the Buddha is talking about. Because I used to tell you, whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the noble eightfold path cultivation, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? The first three right view, most important, law of karma, law of mind, and Dhamma. Means karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. If these three you cannot penetrate, you cannot start. These are basic understanding. Especially the law of karma. Then the essential dhamma. So from there, everything will unfold. Then you will understand why mindfulness is important. Without mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot investigate dhamma. Without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Or you cannot. So without sati, you are as if dead, because you cannot be heedful. And the heedless are as if dead. So sati is very important. So develop that daily mindfulness until very stable. Cultivate samasati. Develop the four foundation of mindfulness. Then all the understanding will unfold. That all the things that I teach you come from the four foundation of mindfulness. And four foundation of mindfulness is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Because the last part, the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, the last category of practice is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why it covers the Four Noble Truths. It starts with right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then right samadhi. Right sati. All this, the eight power factor will fall into place. So this is what you need to understand. When you understand, the understanding will allow you to meditate appropriately, correctly. Then you won't go wrong. Then you will experience all the things that I share, the Buddha share. Then the essential Dhamma become meaningful, beautiful. Then everything like fall into place. Well, all this that I share with you didn't come from me. It's all in the teaching. But people cannot understand the teaching. They cannot interpret it. They cannot explain it to you. But I realize one thing. Either because you all are so conditioned with your old method and technique or old conditioning of the Buddhist teaching, until you find this teaching so difficult to understand. Yeah, it's completely opposite of what you used to do. Do you understand? Most of the time, it's the complete opposite of what you do. Yeah, you were told method and technique, isn't it? Without method, how to meditate? Understand? And you are so conditioned by the word vipassana. And they keep on telling you, not rising, falling is vipassana. The rest is all samatha. A lot of people believe, understand? So if you get yourself so conditioned, you find it so difficult to come out, why not you follow the Buddha's advice to the Kalama? Don't believe anything, not even the Buddha. Investigate everything. Why can't you start from base one, clean slate, understand? Assume you don't know anything, and inquire. Everything, the essential Dhamma, all inquire. I don't want to believe anything from now on. I want to find out. And then all the things I share with you, you go and find out. It can be understood. These are all very, very direct teaching. Part of daily life. Part of Noble Eightfold Path. Part of the understanding. All this that I share is not difficult to understand. There is no such thing as esoteric teaching, understand? Huh? Or mysterious teaching, understand? Oh. That nobody can know one, only I can give one. There goes such thing. Everything that I share with you can be understood through normal practice or cultivation. A normal living being who has a free mind, open mind, you just listen, then you can put it into investigation, find out, put it to test. Like the Buddha said, the teaching, the Dhamma is ehipasiko. You can come and investigate into it, it will stand up to investigation. But it's not mysterious. Everything is related to life, to what you do, to what your form and mind do. Then from there, all the understanding will unfold. Okay? So this part is useful. Huh? Thanks for the question, Debbie. Then I will read to you the last part before we go into meditation. This last part is called the Samadhi of One Conduct. So just now the Samadhi of One Mark, you know. In the midst of marks, you must develop the wisdom not to cling on to mark. Means if you don't dwell in mark anywhere, means duality, all those things. In the midst of mark, means in the midst of life within the conditioned world. But instead remain tranquil. Tranquil means silent, still, and yet yielding, accord and flow. Means you don't react, you accept that you accord and you flow. Then you act with wisdom, with understanding. You don't act according to memory, based on your conditioning, your views, your opinion, all those things. So if you do that, then you have achieved, you would have achieved the Samadhi of One Mind. Then to move on to the Samadhi of One Conduct, this one is very important. In all places, whether walking, standing, sitting or lying down, to maintain a straight and uniform mind, to attain the unmoving Bodhi Mandala, and the true realization of Pure Land, Jingtu. That is called the Samadhi of One Conduct. So basically, what is Samadhi of One Conduct? You read the first part, in all places, means anywhere, any place, anytime. Whether walking, standing, sitting or lying down. This is daily mindfulness, understand or not? So Samadhi of One Conduct is daily mindfulness. Nothing else. To maintain a straight and uniform mind. What is straight? Straight means not crooked, understand or not? Not cunning, understand or not? Do you understand? Straight doesn't mean chick chick, understand or not? We call in Hokkien seated. Not that type of straight. Straight means not cunning, understand or not? Not deceiving. Straightforward mind. Sincere, understand or not? And uniform. Means, if it's not uniform, means what? When I see somebody I like very close to me, I'm more friendly. I give favor. People I don't like, then you are not uniform in the way you behave. Uniform means what? Whether I know you, I don't know you, I act the same. If there is condition, I will help you. If there is no condition, nothing happens. That is what a uniform mind is all about. I don't favor. I don't discriminate. You understand? So straight means not deceiving, not cheating. Not cunning. So this is daily mindfulness. Then the other part he says, after you can maintain the straight and uniform mind, to attain what? The unmoving? What is the mandala? Bodhi mandala. What is Bodhi? No, Bodhi is wisdom. Mandala is not Maya. You know what is a Bodhi Mandala? No? The place where you develop wisdom. Like your way place where you meditate. where you cultivate. Like Pusian's way place, the Bohi Mandala of Pusian, understand or not? So this mandala is the place where you cultivate. Bohi is wisdom. Place where you cultivate Bohi or wisdom is the Bohi Mandala. And this Bohi Mandala is unmoving, you realize or not? Then he say, and the true realization of Pure Land. What is unmoving? What is unmoving? You got a Mahayana Mandarin word. Zuzu? That is your Bohi Mandala, Nasana. When you cultivate until your stability of mindfulness is so stable, until your wisdom, equanimity is already so stable, that's why that is the Bohi Mandala, Ruru Puto. That's why I say, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness inside your mind, your true nature. In the midst of sound, there can be silence. That is your Bohi Mandala, understand? That is what Pure Land is all about, Jing Tu. So that's why I say, when I share, my nature is still, there is no movement. But everything arises from here. That's why straight from the nature. The understanding, the wisdom, it's not from memory. If I use memory, I cannot teach you. Yeah, this is knowledge, I have to remember. But from the nature, you got conditions, it will manifest. But the understanding is already there. This nature don't have to keep this understanding somewhere, understand? Wisdom is not a knowledge, cannot be stored somewhere. It's connected to the form and mind. When it awakens to the directly, the form and mind is connected to it. That's why this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. I draw the picture for you before already. The form and mind connected with the wisdom, no longer deluded, then you can say, this form and mind is enlightened. Whether it is Arahant, or Bodhisattva, or Buddha, or even sainthood. But that fellow is not you, understand? That fellow is this segment of your life. And this is dependent originating, condition arising. This one subject to change, understand not? Impermanent, lead to suffering, empty. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why this is what the understanding is all about. So, the samadhi of one conduct is daily mindfulness with the stability of wisdom and understanding, equanimity. So this is how you live in the world. Samadhi of one mark, then with the complete realization, the samadhi of one conduct. Understand? And through this, you can use the form and mind. That's why the lotus can come in the midst of the lotus pond, which is the conditioned world, the world of mark, duality. Then it can arise through wisdom. And become so beautiful. Wow, I like this lotus. Very nicely drawn. Sadhu to you, Tavi. Wow, not bad. Nobody teach you how to draw. You learn yourself. Wow, very good. Means you have affinity in the lotus. No wonder you have such strong affinity with the Dhamma. But you have to ask for forgiveness for what your past life cultivate. Because you went through a lot, you have the faith, you have the affirmation, you are very determined. But many lives, you receive the wrong teaching, you do the wrong cultivation. Then without you knowing it, you strongly hold on to it. And many lives you promote it also. So ask for forgiveness, no problem. The forgiveness you might use this on whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly that you have deceived or misled. The better word is misled. You sincerely ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, how long you make people disappear or lost the way or misled, you will have to actually, according to the law of karma, get lost for how long? You understand? But because of your good karmic root, you have the condition through your vow. Your certain life when you cultivate like this life with this window, when you make the affirmation to ask for forgiveness, then you make the affirmation to have this new understanding life after life. Or you make the strong aspiration to meet up with the true cultivator who has the understanding. Then all this will pave the way for you to come back. So when it come back, you will connect back. But if you don't ask for forgiveness, means future life when there is no more sasana, that karmic you have to pay. Means because no more sasana, chances are you meet that type of teacher who also don't have the dhamma. That's why you will have to repay all this. Then you will lose your way again. That's why I say this life, you have this understanding, you read through the blue book, the Bodhisattva way, cultivating, make the affirmation by taking up the Bodhisattva vow and all those things, so that you can have this understanding, right view, life after life, whenever you come. And then it will pave the way for your nature not to get lost again. Then because you ask for forgiveness, then all this will help you to actually slowly, slowly purify your karmic negativity. Then it will resolve because of your sincerity, your faith, your understanding. Then all this will bring about the condition for you to continue to move up again. Because without all this affinity or parami from the past, it's very difficult for you to meet the right teaching, like the opening verse. So for you to have the such condition with your mom supporting you. Your mom, I saw your shift photo. A lot of people were full of joy when they sent to me. You were also full of joy, I saw. So the Samaneri program was very good. You enjoy the 9 days? Oh, sadhu. Oh, 14, 2 weeks, not 9 days. Oh, very good, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because Tammy's mother participated in the 14 days Samaneri program. Very good, sadhu to you. We rejoice. So now your faith looks good. Oh, very strong. So now you understand why your daughter last time wants to go that way, renounce. Well, when your faith is very strong, you will know. Then you make that determination. You see, when you make all this affirmation and determination for causes and conditions to go this way, when you do it with understanding in future when you come, you will also have the condition to make sure your parents understand you and allow you to go this way. You understand? To do that, you must not have any karmic. Like this life, luckily you didn't prevent your daughter from doing what she wants to do. Means there is no karmic negativity. If he has did that to you, in future she will be like daughter to other parents who will did the same thing you do to your daughter. So if you support her, she support you, in future you will come with good parents that support both your cultivation. Understand? As far as a lay person, don't be too possessive. Understand? They have their karma. Respect them. Their life, let them decide. Your duty is to advise. Understand? Advise based on your understanding, your experience. And you really have that sincerity to give what is best for your children. Understand? So likewise, Tammy will give you what is best for your mom. Yes? Your life, you decide. That's why she never object, isn't it? Tammy never object to you renouncing, isn't it? You never ask permission. Oh, very good. That is a good one. I never thought of that. Miss, I should rephrase for you. I never need to ask permission for her. She is my daughter. But certain daughter, very fierce. Oh, they object one. Mom, you cannot, Oh, you think you want to shave so easy, My friend come home. My boyfriend come home. Mother-in-law bought down home. So sometimes certain circumstances and conditions can make the children react because of coming. But because you have your good karma, you don't need to ask permission. You do what you like. But do you have to ask permission from your parents still around? Oh, your mother still around. No need to ask permission from her. Yeah.
I didn't ask permission from my mother.
Good.
I just informed her that I'm going to
so she respect you.
Yes, she respects her. But I just informed my husband that I'm going for
shaving. So no need to ask for permission. I just inform. Very good. So the rest must learn. How you all call your husband? Some call daddy. Some call daddy one.
Some call
Hami.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So then I think he thinks that I dare not, you know.
Oh,
so when I came
okay.
back with the ball, I think.
Oh, he was surprised.
But very I'm so good. Surprised that he really looked at the video.
Yeah.
He never accept Buddhism, but surprisingly,
he starts to look at the video.
Very
that's why when you start to have the Dhamma, when you change, he can feel you and you are different already. You change for the better. Like now, tell me, you're not scared of her already, going that way or whatever, isn't it?
No, earlier I'm not scared, I just want her to be sure.
Correct. First, but you can see her now different, isn't it?
Yes.
Very different. That's why I have faith, have confidence, trust them.
A lot from other countries. Australia, from US, Vietnam, and then
Russia, there's one from Russia.
One from Russia.
Very
good. He's quite impressed with all the...
Yes, because... Malaysia being quite a young country, we only had our independence 61 years ago, and yet we were able to come out with so many things. So not easy. But Malaysia is a blessed country. A lot of, a lot of good living beings in our country. Our country is very blessed, I tell you, very unique.
The video clip helps our father
open
the mind on Buddhism.
Oh, very good. Sadhu. We should rejoice. So all this, you will start to understand. So the meaning of samadhi is very deep. Samadhi of one mark, samadhi of one conduct. So the samadhi of one mark is actually the cultivator don't carry any mark. So this samadhi of one mark means it distinguishes from all mark. Means you must have this understanding. That's why the opening statement is that if you do not dwell in mark anywhere, that is the samadhi of no mark. Oh, sorry, one mark. Then the second one is the one conduct is the bohi mandala, which is the pure land. So that is the one conduct. Based, you must develop the wisdom, the true understanding, until your nature. You realize your true nature. So this true nature is the one that is like pure land. It has the wisdom of pure land. Means no mark, no thought, no mark, and no dwelling. Where this one is just aware, nothing else. Okay, we stop here, then you can have your meditation. I think the commentary we will go through next week. Oh, 5:10 already. You all want to have short meditation? Maybe 20 minutes. I give you 20 minutes. Okay, we are off the light. Then we will have 20 minutes of meditation. Yes. Can. Who? Oh, Karen, yes. Why not? No need meditation. Otherwise, not enough time. You all go back and meditate yourself. Okay, now on the light, we get Karen. There's a good suggestion. We get Karen to share her experience at the Samaneri program. The sharing is very simple. You just describe how you come to know the program and how you participated and how you develop the benefits and all those things. And whatever you want to share about the program, you can even describe the program every day, what you do, and how the organizer were able to help bring about such beautiful program. And I was told there's a lot of volunteer too. Okay, you can share. Yeah, sadhu.
Hello. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to attend this novitiate program long time ago, but every time don't know why no condition. On the very day I already signed up, also the day my heart brother passed away, so you know, postponed. So this time I saw this program, I just wanted to go.
Yeah, the condition is there. We are earlier on, all this condition, you know, like I explained, karma, understand?
Yes.
It's like previously, maybe long, many life back, when people want to cultivate, want to attend what, you like, you understand this word, put lang so yeah. Pour cold water, you discourage people and all things. So that's why every time you yourself want to go this life, you will have the condition like not favorable. So instead of somebody put lang so yeah or what, something happened, then you cannot go. So these are called karmic obstruction that come from your past. So when you understand this, always tell yourself, the law of karma is so powerful, you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, the condition, when there is condition, will arise for you to be blocked. So never be selfish. Whatever goodness that people want to do, you should support. You shouldn't try to create any unnecessary objection or what, even out of love, possessiveness or what. That is all due to wrong view. So from now onward, you understand. Then you have the final condition is that you have your good parami too. So finally, after the test, all this coming obstruction a few times, then this time your faith is so strong, you just decide. Then everything falls into place. That's why you can get to experience it, which is very good. I rejoice. Sadhu. I just want to explain this. You continue. Very good.
So, I join without expectation.
Very good. That is one of the good points to hold on to.
Yes. So, I just relax and follow the flow, whatever comes along. No doubt it's not easy. For people like me, being not so good in a Dharma, but just that I managed to go through whatever that obstacles that come
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is very good. Sadhu.
Then, you know, everything we just everything just follow the flow. Like sometimes, first of all, the first week we quite scared because they want us to read the Pali.
Oh, okay.
And it seems one by one got to read the Pali to ask for the rope, ask for.
Yeah.
So the time getting old to memorize the Pali in one whole page.
Yeah.
The time quite scared, but later on.
But you can read from the books, yeah.
They said we ask us to buy heart and put aside.
Oh, okay.
And that time is a bit challenging.
Challenging for you. But normally they shouldn't do that because people are new. So what they should do is you get a leader to read, then you repeat. But what they want you to develop is you must develop your own understanding of what you are requesting.
And later on, they get Sister Ing Lee to read. We all just follow.
Yeah.
That we want to.
But you can go back and read to develop the understanding. That the Pali, most of you are not familiar. But it's good to make that request following the text or somebody recite as a leader. Like we go for retreat, we will get somebody to read, like Ing Bi or whoever. Ing Bi was also part of the thing. I saw her shape.
Yes. Then another part is the pinapat.
That one was very interesting.
I never go without shoes, you know. Even
yeah.
First time I step barefoot, at first I don't know how to walk.
Pain,
very painful. Yeah, all the little pebbles, you know. But at that moment, I recall back, you know, Buddha's time. You know,
yeah.
45 years he has been walking.
Yeah.
And he can go through wire.
Sadhu.
I managed to walk 3 kilometers.
Wow, very good. So got bleeding or not? Got bleeding or not?
Some bleeding.
Some bleeding
or got cuts and all that. For
me,
no.
Wow, very good, Sadhu, because of your faith.
Yeah.
Very good.
So many surprisingly have a thought for Buddha able to walk.
That faith will keep you going. Yes. Then when you have that faith and you are mindful, somehow, they call it miraculously, there is no wound, no bleeding, nothing. Then when your faith is very strong, you can just do it. Then like nothing happened. I also did it during the early years. I remember there was one place where the concrete flooring and the cement flooring is in the stupa area. Afternoon sun, very hot. You put your leg, it's burning on. But somehow, my faith was so strong, I was able to walk. I just walked, mindfully, away. But of course, I didn't try to be a hero, otherwise my leg will be hangos. Understand? So I developed mindfulness that as I walk faster. I'm also mindful, I walk faster. Then as I walk faster, I realized the heat was not so intense. And mainly because of the mindfulness. Mindfulness, you can take it. You can take it. Then of course, when I feel that I need to go to a shady place, I will walk there. I don't rush, but I will walk there. I will walk at a faster pace. Then when I reach there, the body can rest. Then after that, I can continue to do what I want to do. So all this faith, very important. Very good. Then what is your daily routine?
Daily routine, we have a meditation, then got sutta class.
Early morning, what time you wake up?
They give it quite relaxing, very 5:30. Compared to some of my retreat in Thailand.
This is very, 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 they call not so.
But by 6 o'clock, we got to be at the hall already, 6 o'clock.
Not so like intense. Intense means, like you say, certain places they expect you to wake up, get ready at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, we start chanting in Thailand.
Yeah, 3 o'clock, 3 something. Very good. So 5:30, just nice. Then after that,
after
breakfast?
Chanting first. Meditate, then chanting. Chanting in breakfast. Then, but they tell us that take about 5 minutes, you know.
You have to get used to it. But sometimes they say 5 minutes is not practical.
Then one word is very important when we started. You are here to renounce. Everything you cannot ask anything. Renounce.
In fact, before they shave you, they should recite to you some of the what they call Dhamma.
We recite all that, all the ceremony is done.
During the renunciation.
The snipping of the hair.
The meaning and all those.
Asking things. For rose ceremony.
Very good. So that you understand precisely what renunciation means. Renunciation means you renounce the world.
Then we really learn to be a really ladylike. Now even with 100 people, no sound. Then you cannot take things and bite, you know, small pieces very gently put into your mouth.
That's the training.
I cannot eat with big mouth,
So they teach you how to really develop the understanding.
Your butt and all that, your arms full of
When you go for pindapata, how you supposed to walk. Mindful, and yet your eye must be certain distance away. But not more than don't know how many meters in front of you. You just aware.
Must be very aware, that's right. Then after this program, I realized that when it comes to my meditation, I suddenly really relaxed and aware. You know?
Wow, Spadu, very good.
Then I realized my mind has been so crazy actually.
Yeah, for very long. So this 14 day help you.
Yes.
Yeah, help
then,
you a lot.
And then things, you know, keep like very, very in permanent comes and goes.
Yeah. You keep on seeing them.
Yes.
That's why when you are more mindful, more peaceful, more quiet, you start to see many things. You start to see many things. But when you see with clarity and understanding, it becomes different again.
Yes. Then after that, hindrances, after that, this sort of understanding, hindrances so much less already.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Not so much all the monkey mind, you can really
meditate
properly.
Yeah. Where the heedless thinking is your earlier on heedless living.
Yeah.
When you live life most of the time heedlessly, that's why when you meditate, it's like a lot of heedless thinking, monkey mind, all those things. But you have to understand, this is just a condition state during the 14 day. So like any other retreat you go, if you are in a what they call meditation center or way place or temple for a period, you become quiet, peaceful, naturally, because everybody keep precept and you have your training. But what is important is you have to understand this is just a temporary condition state to train your mind. So if you want to maintain this type of mind state, you need to continue with your training.
This understanding is after when I came up in the home, in the house only, I got this feeling.
Yeah, then to maintain this training, you have to do it in your midst of life, means daily life.
Yeah, every moment I try to
maintain
mindfulness.
Yes, but you realize, not long, at the most within 1-2 weeks, you will lose your ability to have that state of mindfulness or peacefulness. Where most people, after they come out of retreat or come out of meditation for a certain period of quietness, they did not have the understanding that these are conditioned states that you acquire when you are there. Then the danger is every time you have problem with your daily life, you will cling to the experience you have in the retreat or in the Samaneri program. Or during that time I can do it, my mind less hindrance, I have less of this monkey mind and most of the time peaceful. So what happened is, it will create the desire for you to go back to all those things again. That's why they never learn, they never improve. If your mind continue to seek peace, that mind cannot be peaceful. Peace is to be realized in the midst of life, in the lotus pond, not in a conditioned state. Initially, yes, to train your mind, you can go to a way place. You can go to a temple, you can join all this program. But after you train, you need to stabilize this mind state so that when you come back in the midst of life, you can also have this mind state. That is the real meditation. That is the real training. So a lot of people don't have that understanding. That's why in the retreat, in all the sharing, I used to tell people, it's not how long and how many retreats you have attended. It's how you understand all this training. Because these are conditioned state. The moment you are out of retreat, out of this conditioned state, you become heedless again, means you don't have daily mindfulness, you don't have the understanding, then you cannot progress. So because of that, you need to establish a daily religious routine. Means throughout the day, you must develop daily mindfulness through a routine. Routine means like in the Samaneri program, they train you this way. But you don't have to like repeat all the things because you don't have the condition, understand not? So you have to modify to suit your daily life. That's why I say every day determine to be mindful. Early morning when you wake up, determine to be aware of your posture, then all your movement activity and how you get yourself clean up, how you actually come out of the bed mindful, and how you actually develop your activity throughout the day. Then after that, meditate for a while. Breathe, love, metta, or do chanting like what you do. But you don't have to be whole day like that, because when you live life, you need to spend quite a lot of your moments in life. Means you have to take care of your whatever daily errand, daily duties and all those things. So you have to do your duties. If you already retire, you don't have to work, then easier. But if you still got to work, no problem. Make it into a routine, like you are still able to meditate during those moments. Even as a housewife, as a householder, whatever you do, you determine to be aware, maintain mindfulness, your mind will develop, you will become different. Like that time, 1987, 88, 89. I was cultivating non-stop, even though I was working as an engineer. I was married with two children. I bring my children along, I bring my mom along to the temple. But I have my religious routine. Throughout the day, I'm occupied with Dhamma, occupied with meditation, daily mindfulness. Then I help out in the tape library. Then I go to Brickfield very often that time. Every Sunday, I go there. My children in the Sunday school. Then every Friday, there's a talk by Chief Reverend at night. Then every Sunday or sometimes certain day, they have this Dhamma session also by Chief Reverend. Then Wednesday, there is also one session for tape library, but that one, somebody on duty, so I don't have to be there. Then I have my other activity with my Dhamma friends. So that time we were cultivating together. Then throughout the day, I was doing my daily mindfulness. Then morning, when I wake up, I develop the meditation. Then after that, maintain mindfulness. Then I pay respect to my author. Before I leave my house, I pay respect. When I wake up, I pay respect. Then when I come back, I pay respect. Then before I sleep, I pay respect, I meditate. Then in between, I develop contemplation, daily mindfulness, non-stop. I just do. Then I do my duty. I also attend to my wife, my children, and take them out for dinner and other things. But maintain the cultivation. That's how the daily mindfulness came. I remember within 2 weeks the daily mindfulness came. Yeah, I was very strong in my mind. My faith and other things was very strong. So if you can do that, you will progress very fast. Then you will come to realize your daily mindfulness is very important. We're in the midst of life and you can be mindful. Actually, the retreat, the formal sitting, is nothing. That's why after that, I remember when I attend all those night sitting with my second last teacher, it's like so easy. The moment I go, I sit, I'm in stillness already. Then whatever retreat or all those, what they call, 3 day, 2 night, 8 precept, weekend one or whatever. The moment I go in, I sit, my mind still, quiet. We are very stable, the daily mindfulness. And very easy to meditate. Then when I attend certain like Dhamma session or what, I find it so easy to sit and relax. But later on, after 1989, my family seldom go to temple because the condition is different. My kid all that time grown up already. So they also finished their Sunday school. Then I just let things be. Then once a while, when there's condition, I will go back. Then after many years, I think 2004 or what? 2004. Well, 1989 to 2004 was 15 years old. Only there is condition. So I received one newsletter from Vipassana Center. At that time, Yu Chan organized a retreat to Fraser Hill. I still remember. Then I saw the thing. Then inside the nature tell me, hey, about time you find out what the Buddhist community do. Well, I was so long, I didn't go to Brickfield, I didn't go to any temple. Then I asked my wife, hey, maybe we should join this retreat. Huh? Not retreat, this spiritual trip. They call it a spiritual trip. I think to Fraser's Hill. Then my wife said, okay. Because I said, I want to find out what is happening to the Vipassana Society. So that's how I came to know Yun Chan. And then after that, she was the one that requested me to come out. That's how the Kayamita group, since 2004 until now. This year, coming to 14 years. That's how things happen. If there is no condition, nothing happens. If Yun Chan had not come that time, didn't make the invitation, I think until today, you all still don't know who I am. Then all these classes may not be around, even the website. That's why you need condition. A lot of Kayamita, they have affinity, they have parami, and you have your past. The only thing is, maybe at this stage, not many of you know your true nature, your true past. Later on when you know, a lot of you will be very surprised. You may think that you are nothing. But when the conditions come, when you really go into it seriously, it will become very different. Then you will discover a lot of things. Then, if I'm not wrong, another 5 years, a lot of the Kayamita will be very different. Very different. So I rejoice with you. Sadhu, sadhu. Anything else you want to add?
I just wish that anybody got an opportunity to
attend. Yeah. So you encourage people to attend. Very good. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you.
Oh, very good, Karen. Ken, PJ. Yeah.
At that time, I really don't know who, because she's going for a Sapanaraka retreat.
Oh, okay.
Then my younger daughter don't really believe in Buddhism.
So you don't know who offer you the role.
I'm a representative.
A representative.
So in that condition, I feel that I really cannot ask family people.
Yeah. Offer to you. Sadhu. Miss Lee, somebody looking for you. Also. Okay.
I'm really thankful I'm able to attend.
Yeah, Sadhu. You must have gratitude towards people who make the offering of rope for you.
The arranged representative.
Yeah. To take care of every seminary.
Thank you.
So PG very interested. She also went and helped. So maybe she will try one of these days.
Another 2 years. Another 2 more years, and they have another one.
Queenie is supposed to shave, but didn't.
The oldest is 83. The youngest is only 14.
Very good, Sadhu. I rejoice. I was told the Pindapata on the last day, 100 plus of monks.
The volunteers, 150.
No. Even the Samaneri, the Bikuni, the monks, 100 plus. I was told.
Plus a few monks.
Yeah, 100 plus. Because Sui An, I think, in the website, he wrote something. Then he sent it to our My Kayamita. So we saw. Then a lot of photo, which was very interesting. Very good. Sadhu. Okay, anybody else want to share anything? Pamasuri last time did it before also. Yeah, very good. She helped out.
Actually, I went through thrice. That's why this time I was one of the committee.
Yeah.
And I really want to thank those who come in and help me with the shaving ceremony.
Ah, Father.
They are all here. Kini,
oh.
Edwin,
wow.
PG.
Wow.
And who else? And a few more. Our Kayana Mita. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, Edwin mentioned already. She
Edwin
mentioned.
Came in,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
A few more. Ah, yeah. Han came in.
Ah, yeah, Han. Yeah.
Christina.
Christina
come and help to shave. And then it was really a very exciting event. And we have a rehearsal.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I benefited from helping this time. I was very happy.
Mm,
and then during the shaving, there were one occasion and I skipped the preparing part because it's very tedious. And then Sister Sumangala, Reverend Sumangala, she is a very particular type, so she looked into every details. So during the rehearsal time, there were one occasion I can feel my body and mind is moving like a robot.
Oh, sadhu.
I was very light and
sadhu,
I was
sadhu,
happy. And then
sadhu.
During the actual shaving, was so many people crowded, very crowded, and then we can't even move, and then we have to, can you imagine, 100 heads waiting to be shaved, and I was the one who has to direct everything, but surprisingly, I'm not panicked.
Yeah.
I just do whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
And then there was this occasion, there is one pail, you know, after they shave, there's a pail with hot water, Dettol, with the hair, everything inside.
Mm.
It was getting full, so nobody is free to go and throw it.
Yeah.
So I just leave the pail. Actually, I don't have to do anything. I just direct only this is what Sister Sue, Reverend Sue told me.
Yeah.
But since nobody is doing it, I just lifted the pail and
you will know what to do. Yeah.
Yes, as I was pouring the water out, I saw the hair. It was dirty. This understanding come to me. The hair, when it is on our head, we treasure it so much. And then when it was after it shaved, you need somebody to help you to throw away, and this duality, you know, that, you know, we treasure it so much, and then when it is on the floor, it no more belongs to it. Like, how I could say it. And then after that, this understanding come to me. This happened to my body as well. When the consciousness is there, we treasure it. We treasure it. What do I say? 我们很执着它，可是一旦这个 consciousness 离开的时候 we have to trouble somebody to you know to get to expose it to
so
执扫霉我们还要人家帮忙我们执扫霉 so it was like my whole it was very I don't know how to describe the understanding is just it just
gave
me a shock.
When you can reflect and contemplate with understanding, all this can happen. Especially you help out. During the early days, I also, just with joy, I help out in the temple, everything. I will do things that people don't want to do. Very, like, dirty things people don't want to do. I will go and do. Then when I do, I had a lot of joy. Then, especially when you have that heart that wants to do, you will do. Then, especially when I was assigned to take care of certain monks. Actually, not assigned. The condition just come. And the monk just know that I'm the right person to attend to them. Then I just attend to them. And there was so much joy. But I can feel them. I can sense them. I know what they want. And I know what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. So I just do that. Then there was one monk from Australia, I think. Achan Jagaru, I remember. She came over on invitation of one of the lady whose husband passed away. But Ajahn Jagaro was the one that helped the husband's funeral, and the lady was very grateful, so invited him over. So that was, I think, his first trip in Malaysia, invited. Then he was at Brickfield. I was recording his talk and all those things. So there were conditions. Then he also know, after I talked to him, he looked at me, your leg here, you are a cultivator here, got one dot on. Then the other leg also got one dot on. He was so observant, he saw. Then he smiled. He asked me, how long already your two dot down there? Oh, I said, very long already, since the early years. Oh, very good, is it? Then later on, we have condition, we talk about out-of-body experience, daily mindfulness. His talk was very good. He got a lot of metta. Then I can feel. Then after that, he said he's going to Malacca. They invite him also. Then I say, anybody attending to you? Then he knew. He said, no. He said, if you want to, you are most welcome. He said, oh, okay. I said, I will come with you. So it's a weekend, so I don't need to take leave. So I actually follow him up. Then I become his kapya, attend to him. Then later on, he liked me. Before he go back to Thailand, our KLIA airport, he said, Teo, come. He said, come. He said, then visit me. He gave me his address. Now it's Ajahn Brahm Temple. They have this, what's it, Bohinyana or what? Their temple. Ajahn Brahm's place, you call it. Serpentine in Perth. Somewhere near Perth. Quite some distance from Perth. So anyway, I make it a point to send him off to the airport. So that day, I remember, he told me the flight time. So I went to the airport to meet him. You know what happened? I was shocked. So many Thai people there. The Thai people crowd around him. Yeah, he was flying back to Thailand. Then from Thailand, he go back to Australia. So when I approached them, he saw me from far. I think he can feel me. Then he waved his hand at me. Then I was full of joy. I went and I paid respect. You know what he told the Thai people? He said, come, meet my good friend. So all the Thai people are looking at me. So some of them thought I Thai. I said, no, I'm Malaysian. Then the Thai people tell me, they like him, you know why? Because his Thai was so good as an Englishman. He can speak Dhamma in Thai to the Thai people. And his Thai language was so good, his Dhamma was so good. The Thai people love him so much. That's why a lot of people came, pay their respect, want to offer him the lunch and all those things. So that's how I saw. If you have the virtue, if you are really a good monk, you have a lot of followers. Then he also have a lot of parami, because his academic was so very good. He told us a story about he got this special scholarship, I think, to study under a Nobel Prize professor in Australia. He was a first class honors. His family was from Europe. I think he majored in physics or what. So what happened was that he had this ideal mind, thinking that if I can learn under a physicist or a professor who is a Nobel Prize winner, I will gain a lot of experience and maybe understanding from him. But that very few months that he started learning under this professor, he got a shock of his life. He realized one thing, he told us. He said, I had a lot of ideas about this type of academic under the professor who is a Nobel Prize winner. We are so famous, that professor. But after getting to know him, Isaiah, he realized the professor's life was actually bad shape, you know, havoc. He cannot get along with his wife. And he also drank. The wife also drank. Then after a few months, he suddenly got this awakening. He said, what am I doing with my life? I don't want to end up like this professor, with all this problem in life. This is not life to me, with all the title, and yet the life is completely in disorder. And you know what he did? He decided to take a month off to just find out what life is. Then he met some friends. Also, I think must be Masale Kuelo, who also very adventurous. So they end up in Thailand. Then after that search and moving around, he suddenly wrote back to the parents and said he wanted to become monk. And he gave up his PhD course, everything, he become monk in Thailand. And he ended up 16 years as a monk in Thailand. That's why he became so famous. Then people offer him that way place in Serpentine. And he was the abbot there early on, before he handed over to Ajahn Brahm. Then he had a mother. When I visited Melbourne, I met him again. He was in Melbourne, but he went back there because of his mother. At that time he haven't disrobed, but later on he disrobed. So there were a lot of condition, a lot of affinity. But he very good. His temple got burned, the year when he visited us in Malaysia. Then he showed all the photo. Then I realized something wrong. The whole forest, there is a forest monastery, burned until all the floor everywhere ashes. But all his building intact, not burned. The plant all burned. I say, how did it happen? He said, I also don't know. He said, maybe our good friend helping the devas. Well, that time Ajahn Yantra was also there. Mahinda, they all were also there visiting him. Then they helped to look after the place, put off the fire. But miraculously, all the temple building didn't get burned. That's why from there, my nature knew this monk is not bad. Then I listened to his Dhamma, very good. He was the one of the Theravada monk that can speak on this in the midst of stillness. In the midst of activity, there is stillness. And in the midst of sound, there can be silence. He also mentioned about that. Then he has a lot of metta, and my nature can feel. That's why when I was in Melbourne too, he can feel me. He said, after the few years we separated, he said, very good, very good, sadhu. He said, he can feel. I also can feel that time. But that time was after 1989 already. That's why a lot of these things, if it's meant to be, will be the affinity, the condition. Then you will know what to do. Like what I was trying to share you is the pale of thing, but Padmasuri contemplated it differently. So what he contemplated was like the body, the hair, everything. When it's on your head with your body, when you are using it, you tend to attach, cling. Then maybe you treasure it a lot. Like you value it so much. A lot of people find it very difficult to give up their hair, especially ladies. Not easy. Because it will take you a while to get your hair grow back, especially you got long hair. So all this. But what is important is your contemplation can be different. What she contemplates is also not bad, quite good. When it shifts away from your head, you have to dispose it clear. Actually, I already saw it when I was cutting my hair every month. And the hair got cut down. This one got no consciousness, nothing. Then I saw. Then every time I go, more and more white hair and all this thing. Then you understand it's only elements go the way of nature. So you go to a barber shop, they will clean for you. Understand? You cut yourself, you clean yourself. You shave yourself, you clean yourself. Then of course someone reprogram, they have this. But what you have to reflect on is the kaya no pasana, the last category of practice, 6. The 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition. But I didn't go into that 9 stages completely. What I was interested in is the first part. The Buddha said, when the form is devoid of consciousness, like what Pamasuri described just now, once it's devoid of consciousness, the condition for that form and mind to exist and sustain itself is no more. You understand? When conditions cease to be, that form and mind cease to be, that living being cease to be, then this thing goes the way of nature. That's why it will go through the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition. Then you realize, how real can it be? But before the consciousness leaves, you should contemplate, reflect, like the Buddha said. This body made of element, the 4 elements, no knowing, cannot be you. That is the first thing you have to understand. Form goes the way of nature. It's of the way to grow old, get sick, and finally consciousness leave, die. So this thing has to be there before the consciousness separate. That's why the 5 daily contemplation, the first 3 pertain to this body, so that you are not attached to this body. Understand? It goes the way of nature. It's a vehicle for you to come to this world to use. So use it. Don't go and worry about getting old, getting sick and die. Don't cling, don't attach, don't give meaning. When this body is sick, don't get yourself attached, cling and become miserable. The Buddha always say, this body goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. And it's not you that is sick. Then he always say, when the body is sick, don't allow your mind to also be sick. Well, the mind that attach and cling and deludedly believe that this body belongs to you will have problems. Especially this one go the way of nature. Sometimes it can grow old, it gets itself into trouble, deform, disease, and all those things. But you have to accept the reality. As long as the condition is there, the consciousness inside, whatever that this body undergo, you will experience it. You will feel it. You will go through it. If you want this form to behave more conducively, in a better way, like our Tuesday class, we study Dhamma, the one you ask PG is conducting it. You want this form to be beautiful, to be good, there are things that you have to cultivate, understand? That you want it to be healthy, long life, you also can do it when you understand the law of karma. So all these are in the teaching. So instead of reflecting and contemplating only on the simple issue, you go into the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, and you learn so much. You learn so much. Then everything that you have within the physical form and mind, you should have gratitude. Understand? Thank your good karma for delivering such beautiful form and mind for you. To come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to have the causes and conditions to receive the Dhamma, cultivate the Dhamma, and have this type of understanding to live the good life, the noble life, and all those things. So you treasure what your nature has actually developed. Then whatever that you see not in accordance with you are lacking, determine to develop the Buddha Dhamma, understand the teaching so that you can improve on it, so that in future it can come in a more conducive way. That support your practice, that support your cultivation, that can allow you to live the noble life of an enlightened being. to experience the third phase of Dhamma Patimitta. So all these are possible. So that reflection, that contemplation can help you in many ways. Then your clinging, your attachment, your grasping, all this, as you develop this understanding, light after light, it becomes automatic. The moment you come, you understand all this already. Like this form of mind, this light, I come, I look at it, I didn't do anything. The understanding just unfolds. And a lot of things that I understand and teach you, I never learned this light. Then how can I understand? It's because of the past, the karmic nature, the spiritual nature. That's why now there is condition. This nature share all this, so that you can have the condition to understand all this where no book write about. Where you can develop all this understanding because you have the affinity to receive this teaching. That's why I make full use of whatever that has been shared, the website, the transcript, and all the audio file and all those things. Listen attentively, have faith, then cultivate, then determine strongly with sincerity and faith. So all this will help, will make you beautiful. Okay? So let us rejoice with a good condition for me to share all this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Another 5 minutes. Anybody want to share anything? Anybody? You want to get Alicia to share something? She just came back from Korea. Jinhao, Jinhao. No, no, Jinhao, Jinhao. No, no, she didn't. Oh, bring the mic over. Okay. Then bring to Alicia. Oh, sadhu. Earlier on, her China friend came. Then after that, she was off to Seoul.
Hello.
Yeah.
其实也没有什么好share啦。其实我这个 trip 我去 Seoul 这个 trip 我 visit 一个 temple
在首尔。它的面积也相当大。他们在
temple 里面就是在禅定的时候 as I walk in 然后我就不知不觉地跟他在一起唱。
然后我就
suddenly realize 诶,中文我懂得 Korean 咩?
是哦
然后我就去 pay respect 然后就是在那边绕佛绕了一下 然后非常好的一个环境 就是这样,也没有什么 然后就是在 在整个过程里面我就 observe 到我的 patient 就比较之前好了一点点 就没有 any aversion 就是这样子好了很多
sadhu very good sadhu 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 see don't know Korean but can participate in the chanting so sometimes you don't know what your past is the cultivation sometimes unknowingly your nature will respond like this line I English educated I'm from an English school. But somehow, deep inside the nature, I know Mandarin is important. And my whole family, all my brothers and sisters sent to Mandarin school, except me, the number two, went to English school. And my father made it a point to send me to the best English school in Alostar. That's why everything is fated. Not in that sense, like fate. Fated in the sense that it's karmically driven by my past, my cultivation, my nature from the past. A lot of things that this nature has developed, the understanding of. That's why everything just meant to be will be. Just move by itself. Like I said, I never do anything this life. This nature only echo and flow through understanding. Then everything just unfold. Then whatever that this nature have to do, its duty, its affinity, it will just unfold and do and manifest. Then those who have affinity, they will come. Then everything will just happen. Then when you understand nature happening this way, things become so beautiful. That's why there is no need to do anything. When you understand, then no condition, nothing happen. Condition, everything happen. That's why take care of karma, take care of your cultivation. Everything will go your way. Yeah. Oh, 6 o'clock. Very good. We can end. Huh? So let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we can end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will share and transfer merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana. Ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo otu yava nivanapatiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Function.